Scott, Grow PA, for our listeners who have never heard of the program, what is the program? What is it intended to accomplish?
I authored Grow PA about 2 years ago in response to the governor's proposal where he wanted to merge community colleges and the state system of higher education together. You know, and I always took the framework that it wasn't going to take a bigger bureaucracy that was going to help put our kids on a good career path and keep them in PA, but it was going to be about empowering families and being honest with them about what the high demand job fields in PA are, and more importantly, keep them here. And we all are aware of kids and their issues with student debt as well. And so what I came up with was the plan with Grow PA, and it's a two-part program. The first part refers to in-state students. And the in-state students, if they agree to get into a high-demand major, whether it's at a four-year school, a two-year school, or even for accreditations, they can earn up to $5,000 a year to help pay for that cost. Now, here's the deal, which is the return on investment for Pennsylvanians. A, the kid has to agree to work in that high-demand field in Pennsylvania. And B, he has to agree to he or she have to agree to live in Pennsylvania for 12 months for every year that they take the grant. So what the hope is that we're creating a scenario where a child could get, let's say, 4 years of the grant, and I'm hopeful that within that 4 years that they're not only meeting the critical job needs in Pennsylvania, but that it also is something that can turn around some of our demographic decline. As they find a family-sustaining job here, I hope they get married, have kids, and plant their roots in Pennsylvania, because we all know that's a shrinking demographic in our state as we see less and less kids rapidly not graduating out of our educational system. But personally, I also like the fact that Grow PA will serve as a better investment tool. It makes legislators think about how we're steering post-secondary education dollars and makes us better investors of those dollars. So we don't want to invest in a school that's going to educate our kids in something that's really not relevant to Pennsylvania, and then they turn around and have to move to another state to find that job. We have to analyze what are the critical job needs, and that's going to every year be done. This year, I'll tell you that going into it, things like nursing, allied health fields, pretty much everything in the criminal justice system, the trades up and down the board, those were really big areas. Large animal veterinarians, given our ag community. Like, we wanted to be really targeted to get kids in those areas. And I'm happy to report that when the program opened last March 13th of this year, over the next 3 weeks, we saw close to 11,000 Pennsylvania students sign up for that program. And that's a real positive sign. The secondary part of this is the fact that we are the second largest importer of out-of-state students in the country. Unfortunately, the way we used to do things, yes, they pay a higher out-of-state tuition rate, but those schools are often very much receiving subsidies from the state. So our resources are being utilized to not only educate other kids from other states, but then they turn around and go right back to their home state. We're saying to them that if you agree to get into a high-demand field, and if you agree to work in that high-demand field and live in Pennsylvania, you can come to school at the in-state tuition rate rather than the out-of-state, and that is a significant difference. We had about 80 kids in year one sign up for that. So I've been very pleased with how this rolled out. We have some work to do on how we further infiltrate other, as we compete with other states, how we infiltrate their educational information pipelines so more people know about Grow PA. It grew in this year's budget by about $7.5 million, so it's a $32.5 million program, and we're looking forward to the next round opening up here in February. But it's another example of trying to be smarter with our money to address some of Pennsylvania's economic needs and, more importantly, our demographic challenges.
In addition to four-year schools, community colleges, Senator, what if somebody wants to go into a technical training or the trades? Does it apply to that as well?
100%. Trades are absolutely covered in this. And again, since it's a high-demand field, we wanted to make sure that the scope of where a kid could go to school was that addressed every single area where we saw that high-demand need. And since trades are a big concern on people's minds, it was important that was part of it, and kids are signing up for those things rapidly.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. With students who may be interested in the program, where do they go to sign up, and what is the process?
If you go to my website, which is www.senatormartinpa.com, what you'll be able to find is a link to be able to go to the FEA website, or you can just go to the state's FEA website, the Pennsylvania Higher Education Assistance Agency, and you'll be able to find how you can apply for this program. It's very simple. Once the kids do sign up for the program, they'll get notified whether or not they've been preliminarily approved or not. And then we have to make sure that, A, the kid enrolls in school, B, that they're in the high-demand major, and they start taking their classes. Once that occurs, then the money goes from FEA directly to the school to be credited to that child's account, that student's account. So it's really as simple as that.
We, of course, here in Pennsylvania do place a large amount of money into underwriting the costs of our institutions of higher education. So great idea, Senator, to find a way to keep those students in Pennsylvania because we have a lot of job openings in many critical areas. We are talking with State Senator Scott Martin. He represents part of Lancaster and Berks counties. In addition to this education program that you authored, Scott, you are the chairman of the Appropriations Committee in the state Senate. It has been a difficult and interesting year. The state budget took a while to get approved. Be interesting in your thoughts as to when you finally got through all the negotiations, got a budget passed, how do you think it turned out? Are you pleased with the results?
I would say that it's definitely a mixed bag, and it's definitely one of the reasons why it took so long to get to the budget being completed, is that we were fighting very hard for economic wins for Pennsylvania, things that could turn the tide. Certainly, I'm extremely happy with the legislative protections now related to getting Pennsylvania out of the regional greenhouse gas initiative. Anything to prevent a $1.3 billion carbon tax from being passed on to our consumers and stymieing investment and jobs here in PA, and quite frankly, weakening our grid capability, was not in our best interest. So that was a massive win on a very important subject. We also got some big wins related to permitting reform. That's something every year we're trying to make better because it's often cited as being one of the top reasons, that and our corporate net income taxes, why investors and people look to move their companies or why they move out of Pennsylvania. They claim it's because of our tax rate, and it's also because of our very lengthy and time-consuming and expensive permitting process. So to be able to get deemed approved in third-party evaluations of permits was a huge, massive win that we fought for that keeps turning Pennsylvania in the right direction. I also will say that we fought to keep them from spending out of our rainy day fund so we can keep a positive bond rating and pay less for our debt with bond upgrades. But on the flip side, I also know that the structural deficit, which some of us really care about, not everyone up there obviously, is something that we have to close. Otherwise, you're going to see massive program cuts or massive tax increases coming up. So there's a $5 billion structural deficit, meaning we're spending $5 billion more than we're taking in revenue. And yet there's folks that are okay up there who want to raise taxes. They think that's an answer. I think that would be devastating to our competitiveness, and especially of the state where inflation and other costs on our families has been an issue. So I will say this, next year will be, the voters of Pennsylvania will absolutely play a critical part in determining which direction does Pennsylvania take, because there is no more runway. There is no more fund balance. I think there's about $200 million left in it, which was left to make sure that if the, depending on where revenues go with the economy, we have a little wiggle room. But they can't. There's nothing there left to spend. And so the voters of this state are going to determine whether they're going to send people to Harrisburg, whether it's in the Senate, whether it's in the House or in the governor's mansion, that want to rein in and hold accountable state government and close that structural deficit through reforms. Or are you going to send people to Harrisburg that the easy answer is to just raise taxes on Pennsylvanians, especially at a time when our competitiveness and demographic challenges exist? There's never been a clearer choice as to the importance of elections for the direction of this state, and the voters are going to have a huge say next year.
And we will point out that we will be electing a governor of Pennsylvania. We'll be electing every member of the state House of Representatives, half the members of the state Senate. So, yes, Scott, you are correct. It's going to be a very pivotal year. Elections do have consequences. As you pointed out, you sort of had to root through the fiscal couch cushions to come up with enough money for this year. With that $5 billion deficit, where do we even go next year to try to close that deficit?
In a couple areas, I'll say. We did find about $3 billion in negotiating what's called lapsed funding, monies that have been allocated in previous years that governors don't give up and return to the taxpayers because they want to spend it. We negotiated $3 billion of that could come back to the general fund for this year, as well as some of the other specialized accounts. What we really need to be focused on is right-sizing in Pennsylvania. I can sit here and just start reeling off to you in many different aspects reforms that could happen in our number one cost driver being Medicaid that has quickly been swallowing up so much of our budget that we need to reform. Secondarily, we have to have the political courage. When you talk about a state that has had the smallest kindergarten class enrollment since 1986 that's working its way through our system, and we see less and less graduates, schools that are down 30-35% in enrollment, we cannot keep doing these hold harmless type of games that guarantee school districts money when they're serving less and less clients. We could afford to close two state correctional institutions, which operate at about $100 million each per year because the capacity is not needed because of so many criminal justice reforms. And there's lists of these things. However, what makes it extremely difficult is in the current environment when you have divided government. And I will tell you, it feels like we are holding up two massive boulders uphill in dealing with the House and dealing with this governor in terms of their spending demands. We have to follow that pathway. There's a roadmap to getting this state back on track. We just need the right players on that chessboard in order to do it.
The governor, of course, keeps trying to include in the revenue forecast some non-existent sources of revenue, such as taxing marijuana, which has not been legalized, skill games, which have not been taxed. Are those items on the table for discussion going forward in 2026?
Listen, he always is he brings this up, and a matter of fact, every year that goes by, he like multiplies. He doubled the amount of marijuana revenue that was projected, and I think he multiplied by five the game of skills revenue that he projected. A couple things on that. First and foremost is, let's say those things bring in about $400-500 million on an annual basis combined. We are talking about a $5 billion structural deficit. We are spending well beyond the means of where our revenue is going right now. That's point one. Secondarily, with all the studies that we see coming out, the marijuana revenue never materializes as to what they promise. You now have states that have legalized it that are revisiting it because they see youth utilization going through the roof, DUIs going through the roof, psychosis becoming a bigger and bigger issue with their citizenry. And you're also spending about $4 for every dollar they bring in revenue in dealing with it. And if I have to ask any of my colleagues one more time, hey, wouldn't you think it'd be smart if you had a device that was like a breathalyzer that doesn't exist for marijuana, where you could test people when they're driving on the road with it? And you know who cares about that? All the loved ones in Pennsylvania who've lost their sons or daughters or mothers or fathers on Pennsylvania roadways by someone who is driving high. Or how about answering questions like, how long does THC have to be out of your system before you drive that school bus full of little kids or operate a forklift? And no one can ever answer these questions. They just want to jump in the pool and deal with the repercussions later. And you know, for me, I think that would be foolish. I don't think it brings any value to Pennsylvania, and I don't think it's going to be part of the equation. I believe the governor will bring it up again in his next budget address, but he's going to have to bring up something because their thirst to spend, they will now have to say without a shadow of a doubt every time they want to support another big spending proposal, well, what are you going to raise? The personal income tax? The sales tax? How are you going to pay for it? Because there is no more money sitting in reserve for them to be able to go after.
We have been talking with State Senator Scott Martin. He represents the 13th State Senate District. That includes parts of Lancaster and Berks County. Senator, once again, you gave us a website earlier where folks can go to learn more about GrowPA and other issues that you're working on. What, again, is that website?
The website is www.senatorscottmartinpa.com. And I appreciate you giving me another chance to say it because I think I left out Scott the first time.
Okay. State Senator Scott Martin. Scott, always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Good to hear from you.